Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer that we can worship together. And, all right. Oh, you're going to take the thing away from me. Okay. Well, it was, that is a squirrel looking at me.
His name is Vito.
Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for that word. How grateful we are for this assembly, the opportunity we have to come together and worship together. Pray that this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's begin with a sing.
Let's turn to song number 226. In your hymnal, would you sing, turn with me to 226. The song is called Follow On. According to the order of Melchizedek. For on one hand, there is a setting aside of a former commandment because it is of weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect, and on the other hand, there is a bringing of it in a better hope through which we draw near to God. Inasmuch, it was not without an oath. For indeed, they became priests without an oath, but he with an oath through one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You're a priest forever." So much more, also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. All right. Continuing, turn to 345. Turn to hymn number 345 to sing together, Satisfied. 345.
All my life long I had panted for a draught from some clear spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I Jesus satisfies my longings. Through His blood I now am saved. For I was and sought for riches, something that would satisfy. But the dust I gather round me, all things are my sustenance. Hallelujah. My soul so long has reigned. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through His blood I now am saved. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and green, untold wealth that never fails. My longings from His blood now I'm saved.
Okay, thank you. Now, let's take care of some questions, some information. Let's continue to be in prayer for Mike and Betsy as they continue with Mike's problems. So we'll be in continue there. And do we have any other prayer requests? Yes.
Two real quick. Lori's driving back from Fort Aransas, Rockport area today. It's an 8-hour drive. So be in prayer for safe travels.
Very good.
Everything's good. She's just coming back with some lady friends for the weekend. Good. And then if you'd continue to be in prayer for me, I have a follow-up appointment on Tuesday to find out, hopefully find out something that's going on. I had some blood work and CT scan this week, and hopefully they'll be able to see what's going on Tuesday when I meet with a specialist. So.
Very good. We'll be in prayer on those two things. Very good. Please keep us posted. Right. Yes.
Herman, you know the situation going on in Russia and Ukraine.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm really unable to determine if it's a false flag or a real situation. But some of the guys that were with me in Belarus or in Minsk, Jim Myers, I think you know him,
yeah.
And Mark Musser was there with me in Belarus, and he's currently in Minsk with him. And Robbie Dean is doing a conference there with them in Minsk right now. So.
He's under COVID.
And he's got COVID.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And so I just wanted to mention those guys in Minsk, Ukraine, and all that's going on there, just for their protection as they continue to their business as usual, from what I hear.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just getting ready to say, Robbie Dean, I talked to him on the phone, and he said they... And that area, they're not looking at anything. They're not. They didn't think think there's going to be any war, going to be any problem. And he said more comes from the worries and stuff comes from America's press than in fact. So I don't know what's going to happen either. But we will continue being in prayer. All right. Any other prayer request? Yes.
I have my friend Noelle on the prayer list. She had her nodules checked, and the doctor is 99.9% sure it's cancer. And Monday, instead of going for a biopsy, she's going to get a tumor removed on her upper lung and one in her lymph node.
Okay.
And they're doing a PET scan this week to see if there's any further spots anywhere. And, you know, she just had a bowel obstruction last year this time. So this, whatever's going on, came on really quickly because they didn't see anything last year this time. So just be in prayer because she's like, just get it out. She's not even waiting for pathology.
Give us some names.
Noelle Glover.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Let's be in prayer. Yes.
My sister and her husband are traveling back from here to Massachusetts today, and that's for travel. And April 4th, my sister has heart surgery to replace a heart valve. So I'll be up there with her.
Okay, we will be in prayer. Keep
What's
us posted.
Your sister's name?
Molly.
Molly. Okay.
Molly. Yeah. Keep us posted.
It came from that song. What was it? Molly and me and Baby Make Three.
Yes.
I would ask the internet that there's any update for the missionaries like the Weasleys and the Johns. Because we haven't talked about it for a while.
Okay, we need to stay on top of it. All I know, right? Go ahead.
I don't know about the Risleys. I know that Fassel and Carrie have gone back over to Pakistan. Little Carrie, their adopted daughter, had typhoid fever. So I apologize, I forgot to mention this. But they are back in Pakistan right now trying to get her taken care of. I don't know the prognosis. I know typhoid fever is nothing to mess with, but hopefully she'll come through that strong. But that's what's going on, and their mission's work continues over there. So
okay. In the prayer, keep us posted as far as the baby, the child.
Yeah. Your voice going out. Can you speak louder, Clay?
I think it's the mic.
I said.
That's right.
I said, for us, continue being in prayer. For their child, and the child's name was
Carrie.
Little Carrie.
Little Carrie. So let's be in prayer.
Do you know how old she is?
I think she's 14 or 15.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they call her Little Carrie because Carrie's the adopted mom, but she's 14 or
15.
Okay. Okay, any other prayer requests? All right. Yes.
I have some good news.
Good. I like news. Good news.
My granddaughter-in-law is doing well.
Good.
The new baby boy is home with her.
Good.
His name is Jeffrey Lyle Cox IV.
Okay. And the baby's doing fine.
Wait, I'm sorry, it's the third. I get mixed up. It's the fourth one of them, but it's the third.
Okay.
I think I'm going to call him Trip.
All right. That's our great grandchild. We just call him Trip. Yeah. And we'll be in prayer. Good. Yes.
Got an update on my mother-in-law. So she went home last Tuesday, and Rick's mom, and she's doing really well. She had most of her staples removed on Thursday. I texted her, and she said, "Take me off your prayer list and open it up for somebody that needs it." That woman.
See, Tish will never tell us to take it off. He never wants to be off.
I know.
So we'll be in prayer. Well, good.
Yesterday too, and she's perking up a little bit.
Good.
Yeah. So.
Good. All right, and our daughter is getting better and better, right? With Karen?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. Okay. Wednesday. We need you at church Wednesday. We're going to start a study. I'm going to start a study on Hebrews. And been working at it now for several months, and we're ready to go at it. And so Wednesday evening, we will study the book of Hebrews and begin with the book of Hebrews. And then Sunday mornings, Kit will be teaching Judges, and then I'll be with Ephesians. So that's the schedule that we're going to be in and for a while. So those are coming up. Love you to be there Wednesday. Okay, anything else? All right. People, we still have to pay the bills. Pay the bills for this room, this building, and the young people, different things we have. So let's be a part of God in what he's doing in this assembly. So let us take the offertory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunities that we have to reach people all over the world on the gospel, and then, Heavenly Father, on believers learning the Word of God, opening such things as Hebrews. So, Father, we pray now your Spirit will take charge. Bring us an offerings that we can continue in these things, Father. We pray this in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
This is a very simple one. We haven't done it for several years, but it's very, very easy to sing. 325, Footsteps of Jesus. 325. Everyone has a copy. Today's talk, the word we're going to be studying on, How Grace Provides for Us. Anybody not have a copy? Okay. Did the wife get one?
I did.
Okay, good.
I got two by mistake.
Which one was that?
How Grace Provides for Us. Okay. Let's begin with the word of prayer and move into our worship study of the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love the Word of God so much. we learn so much of our relationship with Christ. Pray now, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and to understand. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, introduction to Ephesians chapter 2. How grace found us was found in verses 1 through 3. How Christ provides for us is chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. But now let's look in chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. So we're going to be looking at the richness of God in regard to his mercy. Now, verse 4 starts off, but. This is very important. This contrast is between how Christ found us as the children of wrath and how God in Christ saved us. We did not find the Lord found us. It is wrong to think of us to say, I found the Lord. No, the Lord found us. That's the grace and the joy of it. Okay, who found us but God? This is interesting what I'm going to be working on with here. When he found us, he had total capacity for love. When he found us, he had total capacity for love. When God found us, we were completely without the ability to love. When he found us, we could not love him, but he loved us. When he found us, he was faithful. He was faithful. We were not. We were faithless, useless, hopeless, helpless. This is how we were found when he found us. Now, stop and think about this, because to me this is very important. God found us with nothing. We had nothing. But God wants to make us something wonderful. We had nothing. He wants to make us wonderful. Through his Spirit and his Word is how God does it. He makes us something wonderful through the Holy Spirit and through his Word. Now, God makes us everything wonderful and valuable. When God found us, when we were miserable creatures, now God wants us to be joyful and peaceful, as he is always joyful. There never was a time, and never will be a time, when God is not happy. He wants us to have his capacity for love. God has perfect happiness, perfect love, and he wants us to have perfect happiness and perfect love. The day God saved us, he wanted to make you happy and fill you with capacity for love. Now, here is the key to all that he wants you to have for these things. Not now, but right now, not in eternity, but right now. Why? Because in eternity, we're going to have it. You'll have a complete happiness. You will have full love. But in time, your life right now, in time, it is up to you. You have to make volitional decision for God to make you happy. You have to make that decision. For God to give you capacity for love. Verse 1 started with, and you. Verse 4 starts, but God. There's the great contrast. And we, and you, and but God in verse 4. You begin spiritually dead. That's verse 1. Spiritually dead. Under the control of Satan, verse 2. And then in verse 3, you have the sin nature. But God came with graceful change. Here is the simplicity of the testimony of everyone, one of us. And you, but God. There's the great contrast. Every member of the human race is actually, I first started in with crack, but that's not very good, talking about getting a crack with salvation. So, you can oppose it, at salvation or not. And every believer has the opportunity of all the blessings from God. But God, now the next one, being rich. This means to be rich or wealthy. Rich refers to the essence of God. The word rich refers to the essence of God. The Greek word comes from a root word meaning, this is what the root word of the word rich is, to fill or to be filled. Meaning, in the meaning of it, to be full of material possessions. Therefore, to be rich. Richness can often have a negative place in every impact in the Bible. Matthew 19:23, and Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Believers are not to put their hope in the riches on earth, but in put their hope in God, for God alone is truly rich. Jesus Christ warns in regard to being rich, Luke 6:24, but woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. In other words, you're getting it right now, and that's it. When you die, it's not, you're no wealth with it. That's for the unbelievers. This applies to those who trust their wealth instead of trusting in the Lord. The book of James is also important. It has several things about how God loves the poor, with the idea being that the rich exploit the poor. James 2:5, James 5:1. In the book of Revelation, talks about rich. God is mindful toward the poor in Smyrna, one of the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. In Revelation 3:17, Laodicea all are warned of their wealth over trusting in the Lord. The rich are among those judged at the sixth seal of Terah. All right, now our passage. But God, this is verse 4, but God is rich in mercy. Okay. We could spend hours studying about mercy in the Bible. Mercy is a, pardon expression, rich word for the mercy of God. So let's take a look at the mercy in our study, the mercy in the Bible. One, the word mercy. The word mercy. I'm going to look at English and then Hebrew and then the Greek. English, most of you know this, mercy, charity, clemency, grace, leniency. In English, this word means compassion or forbearance, especially to an offender. Now, that's the English. But let's look at the Hebrew. Hebrew, a lot of words, several words for mercy. Hesed is the main one. Hesed, three main synonyms. Mercy, compassion, pity. Psalm 117, 2. Mercy, compassion, pity, all take care of hesed. Second word is raham. It's a feminine for the word the womb. The womb, meaning compassion, mercy, affection. The Old Testament thought of the womb as the seat of warmth and tender emotion. The writer had in mind the idea of compassion, tenderness, or just mercy. Psalm 116, 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. Third word, report. Now, this is an interesting word. It means a lid, L-I-D, as meaning propitiation. Now, how does a lid teach propitiation? The word refers to the lid that covered the Ark of the Covenant. It associated with the mercy seat. The mercy seat is where God came before Israel to teach them of His propitiation. Jesus Christ became the all-time acceptable sacrifice and satisfied the wrath of God as the guilt offering. And this is in Exodus 25. Another one, the fourth word, Haman, means to be gracious or to have mercy. The word can be used either way. Several translations translates this word, accumulated mercy or merciful. In Psalm 115, the psalm that prays for mercy in verse 2 and verse 3, Ephesians chapter 33, Numbers chapter 2, Psalm chapter 26, Psalm 27 and 19. All deal with mercy. Now, Greek, biblical Greek, just two words. We have eleo or eleos, has the same three symptoms as the Hebrew does. Mercy, compassion, pity. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Or, oikodomos means pity, mercy, compassion. This is found on the most familiar passage for most of you, Romans 16, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, that takes care of the words. Now, point two. In the complete word study dictionary, Old Testament, in describing the character of God, describing the character of God as truth, faithfulness, mercy, steadfastness, justice, righteousness. all these words in the lexicon, dictionary, deal with the character of God, faithfulness, truth, faithfulness, excuse me, mercy, steadfastness, justice, righteousness. Mercy is from the patience of God. Mercy is with the patience of God. He does not owe mankind mercy. Mercy cannot be owed. We're not owed to be mercy from God. He is not owed to be merciful. Once we see and understand our sins, our transgressions, we become so thankful to God for His mercy. He didn't have to be that. He didn't have to be. Three. And three gets involved now with the study. Here we learn more about God. The grace of God. The grace of God often is spoken of before His mercy. Grace is used before mercy. The grace of God contemplates mankind as in consequence of sins. Now, mercy of God takes pity on mankind as in need of forgiveness for the sins. So in grace, we are in sin. In mercy, we need forgiveness. In looking at God, we may define the mercy of God or the goodness or even His love toward those who are in misery or even distressed. We are in need of mercy. At this point, he looks and sees the helplessness of mankind in his sins. In His mercy, God shows forth His compassion. His grace sees it. His mercy has compassion for us. God is now moved to supply relief for their distress. So God is His tender mercy. God in His tender mercy to forgive them their sins. Sends His own Son on the cross. Now, this removes the agony of sin from, but does not provide eternal salvation. What I'm saying here is that what the mercy of God sees here is that the sin is taken care of as far as the sin is involved, but not salvation. Take the word mercy out of the Bible, and there has no Bible. There is no salvation. There is no Savior. There is no eternal life. Take the word mercy out of the Bible, and you take God out of the Bible. Now, just think for a few moments of how your life would be like if there was no mercy. The mercy passion of the cross, where He offered His life. Remember, when you speak at the life of Christ, you are speaking of the sinless perfection of Jesus Christ. He offered His life for each individual for their sins. This is where the grace of God freely offers His own perfect righteousness to anyone and everyone who will express faith in Jesus Christ and receive this righteousness. So, we keep the grace of God, who seeks our need for forgiveness and the mercy
of God to remove the barrier of sins, and the grace of God to now saves everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Psalm 86, 5. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness or mercy. The Hebrew, there can be loving kindness or mercy to all who call upon you. This is why Hebrews chapter 5, 15 and 18 speaks of being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another. This is what we want to do. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord. Now, I'm going to be dealing with that. We haven't dealt very much with what's the difference between psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing. There's a difference. There's a difference. And we need to know what it is to appreciate what God is doing for us. 2 Chronicles 7, 6. The priest stood at their post, and the Levites also with the musical instrument for the Lord, which King David had made for giving praise to the Lord, for his faithfulness is everlasting. Whenever he gave priests by their means, while the priest all on the other side blew trumpets, and all Israel was standing. Now, when we study Hebrews, we've got a lot to learn about the priesthood of Israel and the priesthood of Jesus Christ, our priesthood. We're going to have some wonderful things found in Hebrews. Now, Psalm 136, 1 and 2 and following, give thanks to the Lord. That's what we ought to do. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His loving kindness is everlasting. Mercy endures forever. Give thanks to God of gods, for His faithfulness is everlasting. Mercy endures forever. Now, what I'm going to be doing is teaching and reading this the two different ways. Look, in verse 1, it says, for His loving kindness is everlasting. In verse 2, we're saying, for His faithfulness is everlasting. So the same words can be used in the same things. Now in verse 3, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Mercy endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His faithfulness is everlasting. Mercy endures forever. To Him who makes the heavens with skill, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Mercy endures forever. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His faithfulness is everlasting. Mercy endures forever. To Him who makes the great lights, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Mercy endures forever. The sun, this is right out of the text. The sun to rule by day, for His faithfulness is everlasting. Mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His loving kindness is everlasting.
mercy endures forever. And I stopped there reading, but just as I, when you get home, maybe tonight or just sometime this week, read the remainder of Psalm 36. Read over it again, page verse 1 through verse 26. Some scholars, this is interesting, some scholars believe that Jesus sang this great praise with his disciples when he went out of Mount of Olives after this Last Supper before the crucifixion. Don't know that he did, but sounds good. Now, point 4. In the New Testament, mercy and grace often go together. 1 Timothy 1:2, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and grace and Christ Jesus our Lord. 5. Also, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1 and Titus 1:4. Now what I've done here is just give you some highlights that we could have spent a lot of time on. A working definition of mercy. If you just need to come across with a, what does it mean? Well, by no means the completeness of the understanding of the word can be something like this. Mercy relates to forgiveness or withholding punishment. Mercy relates to forgiveness, or mercy relates to forgiveness, withholding of punishment. That is due to all the punishment that's due to all members of the human race. But God's mercy, loving kindness, two different words for mercy. But God's mercy, loving kindness, through the healing where there is suffering. What is so amazing about God's compassionate mercy? I'm just trying to use different words that right out of the Bible the lexicons use. Like, for an example, mercy relates to forgiveness or withdrawing punishment that is due. Then we have the word, but it's amazing about God's compassion, mercy. Then you lead it on down, and you have that the need for His mercy. They do not even know He is merciful to those who don't even know they need the mercy because of punishment. They don't even know they're in punishment. In fact, a multitude of people become angry when talking about the mercy of God. When Kit was teaching last couple of Wednesdays about the truth today, people don't understand things. Maybe in the 1950, you could say, are you saved? And they know what you're talking about. Not anymore. People just don't know the things that are in the Bible. So most people don't even know they're in need of His mercy. But He is still merciful. B, a refraining from harming or punishing offenders, enemies. These are our enemies. Persons in one's power. Kindness in excess of what may be expected or demanded by fairness. Forbearance, compassion, kind or compassionate treatment, relief of suffering. C, a disposition to forgive, pity, or kind. D, another aspect of mercy is under blessing. A blessing, something to be thankful for. We should be ever so thankful for the mercy from God. Once we grasp the mercy of God today toward us, we should be forgiving others with the forgiveness, with mercy. We can really not understanding mercy, but we are to be thankful for it. Grace contemplates humans as sinful, guilty, condemned. That's what grace finds us. Mercy sees the human race as miserable and needful, and coming to remove the need by the great love of God. We need so much to spend time in the Word of God for the word mercy love. God's mercy, God's wrath meet at the cross. Let me repeat that. God's mercy, God's wrath meet at the cross. Now, point six, Don Wilson teaches that Adam and Eve first learned of God's mercy was when God covered their shame with the skins of sacrificed animals, Genesis 3:21. In other words, he sacrificed animals and took the skin to put it on Adam and Eve because they were now with no clothes. That is when God sacrificed the animal to make the skin of the animal to cover from their sins. This was the first teaching of the cross. Point seven, Stephen Carnock, 1797. I love reading Stephen Carnock's books. Wrote in Essence and Attributes of God that the goodness of God is the same as the mercy of God. Goodness extends to more objects than mercy. Goodness extends to more objects than mercy. Creation is an act of goodness, not mercy. Mercy extends only to a miserable object. The mercy of God is exercised about those that merit punishment, and that's all members of the human race. This is, of course, applies to every one of us. We were originally, that is Adam and Eve, and then every one of them, created not in need of mercy. But once man sinned, Adam and Eve sinned, then came the need for mercy from God. 8. For mercy in prayer. Mercy in prayer. Remember that God does not owe us mercy. Mercy is not something that God owes us. We can ask for mercy to God, Jesus Christ as our high priest, and as our high priest, he knows our weaknesses, and he sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. Now, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can pray to God with confidence in regard to our needs. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, therefore, let us draw near. Now, let me just say, let us draw near. Let us keep on praying. Come near in prayer. Keep on drawing near, not far off, but close to Him. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy
and find grace to help at the time of our need. Now, what we have here, two things we pray for out of the passage in Hebrews 4:16. One, pray for to receive mercy. That is, we may receive mercy. We do not deserve this, but our high priest knows of our needs. Secondly, that we may find peace, find grace in time when we are in need. Always remember that we do not earn or deserve His peace, His mercy.
Real quick here, I've always found it interesting that it says, with confidence to the throne of grace. Kind of expand that on that, the throne of grace.
Okay. That's where Jesus Christ is right now. And therefore, when we go up to heaven in prayer and talking to God, we're talking to God and Jesus Christ about our need, that we may need mercy, grace, whatever it is we need at the time of need. And therefore, God answers us, as it were, right from His throne. He and Jesus Christ get together and deal with our prayers.
Okay.
Right from there. Okay. Now, what I've done here, we've talked a lot about mercy, but what about it when you just want to know about it and talking about it, thinking about it? So what I've done here is quick thoughts on mercy. Just quick thoughts. One, quick definition. Mercy relates to forgiveness or withdrawing punishment that is due to all mankind. Whenever you think of mercy, that's what you think about. Two, God does not owe us anything. God does not owe us mercy. Three, it is a character of God to be merciful. Psalm 136. Four, Jesus Christ is our high priest. Now, when we get back to Hebrews on Wednesday night, we're going to be studying a lot about Jesus Christ as our high priest, using it and even coming to praying to Him. Jesus Christ is our high priest, and He is merciful, and He may give you His mercy. Hebrews 4:15-16, His mercy passion is what sent Him to the cross. We'll be studying that. Five, pray for His mercy. Pray for it. You want to know what it is, not deserve it, earn it, pray for it. Six, the grace of God sees our need, and the mercy of God meets that need. He will meet your need. Seven, take the word mercy out of the Bible, and there is no Bible. There is no salvation. Eight, give thanksgiving to God for His mercy. You can do that daily. Thank God for His mercy. And then nine, rich verses, just straight out of the Bible, dealing with mercy. The center of the Bible, the center book of the Bible, two chapters, Psalm 117. Then look at Psalm 116, 5, 123, all of it. 136, all of it. Hebrews 4:16, Romans 12:1, Psalm 86:5. Then now Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love, because
of his great love. If you think God's grace is, it takes you to his great love. If you think of God's grace, you think of his love. If you think of God's mercy, think of his love. You think of salvation, think of the love of God. Mercy of God emphasizes his love. His mercy goes into action on the love of God. His mercy sees the need for the love of God. He is rich in mercy, great and in his love. Now, the word great connotes greatness in magnitude, quality, quantity. In quantity, God has enough love for everyone. God's love is great in quality, in that God's love reaches everyone with that exactly what is needed. But God, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Now, we now come to the love of God. After looking at the mercy of God, here's the quality of his love. Is that his love brings about enough love to bring all mankind who desires it to make everyone alive. We were dead, spiritually dead, but God's mercy seeks us all dead and makes us alive in his love. Now we're going to come to the study of love. Just closing now. Many people wish there were different words for love. There was love of humans, there was love of married people, love of family and all things. And a lot of people want different titles, different words. I don't. I think the word love captures every one of them, and we're going to be looking at that. We have all kinds of love in the Word of God. We have eros, from which we get the word erotic or sexual love. We have phileo. This describes an emotional connection, what goes beyond acquaintance or actual friendship. It is different than erotic love. Phileo love is a deeper level of connection, but it is not as deep as love within a family, and not as intense as romantic or erotic love. But next Sunday we will start looking just at the love of God, not at the love of man. Any questions? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. We thank you. We praise you for your mercy. Sometimes we forget how needful we were for your mercy. Sinners. And your mercy saw us in need and sent to us your Son. And out of his love and mercy went to the cross for us. We thank you and praise you for your mercy. Let us never forget we receive your mercy. Father, praise your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning, use these things to reality in our own soul. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.